really ties in with the scripture from Psalm 84 this morning. Hear the word of God. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, indeed it faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Happy are those who live in your house, ever singing your praises, Selah. Happy are those whose strength is in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. The God of gods will be seen in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayers. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, our shield of God, look on the face of your anointed, for a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to live in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. He bestows favor and honor. No good thing does the Lord withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, happy is everyone who trusts in you. It's the word of God for the people of God.
Choir and Jill for that beautiful prelude, and Jack for all that you contribute, our instrumentalists, we thank you all for your gift to God and to us this morning as we come for worship. Last week, I mentioned that, of course, the first two Sundays, I shared my faith journey and my call to ministry, and then the last Sunday and today and next Sunday, wanted to share with you what some of the values are that kind of have guided me in my ministry. And so today, as we go into this time of hearing the word, let us go to God in prayer and pray with me and for me. Oh God, open and speak your word to us this morning. And remove any obstacles from our hearing and from our receiving. Amen. In one of the appointments that I served, one of the churches I served, when I got there, one of the ministries that I quickly learned about was what they called the free store. And it was just that. It was a free store. One Saturday a month, they opened the church, and in a certain part of the church, they had a room that had all kinds of things that people might need. Clothing mostly, but also linens such as sheets and towels and spreads, comforters. They did have some kitchen items as well, some small appliances, toiletry articles. So things that people who had need for those could come and they could shop at no cost. There was never any money taken for anything that was purchased. And so this was a ministry that this church had been doing for about 10 years, and they were very proud of it and loved this ministry. But I noticed something, that when people came to shop, they were only allowed in a certain part of the church. They could come in one side, and they had the church blocked off just past the room in which the free store took place. When they got there, they were supposed to come to the table, and they were given... They gave the people that were waiting at the table their name, and then they were given a number. And then when they went and waited to be called to shop, they were then called by their number to go and shop. After a while, I had been helping with this, and about a year or so after I got there, the volunteers started to get tired. That doesn't happen here, does it? Volunteers getting tired? Of course it does. But they were beginning to get a bit tired, and so the conversation started that maybe we should just have it every other month instead of every month. Most of those working with the free store were all in support of that, and so we began thinking about that and talking about it. But at the same time that we had that conversation, we had entered into a visioning process with Kay Catan. Kay does visioning and church consulting, has written several books. She, I think, is in the at the Arkansas-Missouri conference, one of those conferences in the Midwest, is a layperson. But the district superintendent had invited her to come and to work with some of the churches in this process. And so we talked with Kay about that, and she asked us to really think about it and consider it and to look at how we might change it so that it was most effective for the people who came, but also for the volunteers. And so we started talking about that. Also around that same time, we had taken what was the old parlor. You remember those days when churches had parlors? We had taken the old parlor and we had removed a wall and opened it up and made it into a welcome center. We'd put a nice cabinet up against the wall and put the coffee pot in there. We put some tables where people could come and sit at the tables, but also some comfy chairs where they could spend some time in conversation with one another. So we talked about the possibility of changing how we did the free store. First of all, we thought, okay, how about we use this welcome center to welcome the people who come to shop? It was on the opposite side of the building, mind you, right across from the sanctuary. And ask volunteers to come and to help with coffee and donuts and just to have conversation with the people when they came. And then also, how about we not call them by number, but what if we called them by their name instead of by a number? And so we kind of liked that idea. And we decided to go ahead and to stick with once a month and see how it went. And lo and behold, it changed everything. The customers, when they would come and shop, began having conversation with the people who were there to volunteer and vice versa. The two got to know each other. We actually had time before the shopping began for devotions, and so we all actually gathered in the sanctuary and had devotions, and they began asking for prayer requests. And as they shopped, they were called by their name. And soon, people that had been volunteering and had grown tired looked forward again to Free Store Saturday. But even better than that, the ones who had come to shop all of a sudden felt like they belonged at that church. Some of them began attending worship and actually have since joined that church. The district administrative assistant at the time, well, she's still the district administrative assistant, but she had started coming to that church and had joined the church, and she decided she wanted to do a Bible study on Wednesday night, specifically hoping that some of those who came to that free store would come and join in that Bible study, and they did. She would bring some food for them to eat, and because many of them were homeless or had minimal income, and so she thought food would be helpful. But some of them began bringing their own food to share. And some of them began volunteering in the free store. All of a sudden, it wasn't the church people and the customers. It was the family of God. They belonged just as much as those who had been a part of that church for a long, long time. Some of you are too young to remember, although you may have watched it in syndication, but that is the comedy Cheers. How many of you remember Cheers? Others of you are looking at me like, what is she talking about? That's okay. Your parents will tell you. The customers that were there at the bar, the ones that came in every day, and of course all of the other characters, they're memorable characters, and one of them, of course, went on to have his own show, Frasier. But more memorable than that was the theme song. The verses talk about all the troubles that people have and just how life just has throws its curves to us every day. But it's always nice to have that place where people know your name. Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name and they're always glad you came. You want to be where you can see our troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name. It does make a difference when people know us by name, doesn't it? when we're called by name. Now, I'm going to ask you forgiveness because I'm still learning names. Don't hesitate to remind me of your name when you introduce yourself. I have some that test me on it, and that's okay. I will learn them eventually. But names are important because it means that we are indeed known. Prior to the pandemic, there was already a loneliness problem in the U.S. A pre-pandemic study by Cigna reported that 61% of adults, 61% of adults admitted to being lonely. Today, quasi-post-pandemic, and I say quasi because we're still in it, it's just changing, that number is still more than half of the adults in the country. Some 58% experience loneliness on a daily basis. And Cigna considers that epidemic level. A previous study revealed that only around half of Americans say they have meaningful in-person social interactions on a daily basis. And this is not just senior adults who live alone or those who are single who live alone. It covers all ages and stages of life. Only half have had some meaningful conversation with a friend or spent time with family members. And we know that loneliness brings with it a number of problems. It can lead to depression and other mental illness. It can actually lead to diabetes or heart disease because a lot of us, when we're lonely, what do? We go to our refrigerators and we eat things we shouldn't eat. It can play a role in substance abuse and diminishes our overall quality of life. And some studies have found that loneliness can even lead to premature death. What exactly is loneliness? It's defined as a feeling of being alone or lacking social connectedness. Lacking social connectedness. In other words, loneliness is lacking a sense of belonging. A sense of belonging. Of knowing that you are not isolated in this world, but that you belong to something, to someone greater than yourselves. Think about why you are here this morning. Think about what it was that made you get up on this Sunday morning and come to worship at Wesley United Methodist Church. Now, for some of you, the young people, it might be because mom and dad said to. I've been there. But hopefully at some point it will be something else besides that. Most of us are here this morning because we have found a sense of belonging here. This has become home for us. Something has drawn us here to this particular church, and we have connected in such a way that we feel like we are a part of each other, that we belong together, that we belong to God. So when we hear the beginning of Psalm 84, it reflects the feeling that most of us have when we think about gathering in this space and with this group of people week after week. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, indeed it faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Remember that period of time in which we could not gather for worship during the pandemic? You know what it's like for your heart to long and faint for the courts of the Lord, don't you? Because this is where you belong. Walter Brueggemann and William Bellinger remind us in their commentary on the Psalms that though this psalm, one of the songs of Zion, sounds like a personal reflection on the temple and worship, it is a communal psalm, possibly reflecting a pilgrimage of the people to one of the temple festivals. It is a communal psalm. It is reflecting the feeling of the people as they all are journeying to the temple for this festive worship, coming together for celebration in the house of God together. But one of the things I love most about this psalm is the imagery that is in verse 3. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Even the sparrow and the swallow, the birds of the air, even the creatures, critters as I call them, even the critters have a place in the house of the Lord. They are welcome. And if they are welcome, are not we all welcome? This place of worship, this community that has gathered, offers all who come a place to call home, a place to belong. I dare say that most, if not all of us, would say that that is what the church should do. It should offer and does offer that place where even a sparrow, even a swallow, if they were to fly in those doors right now, would be welcome to come to the altar of the Lord. But in reality, that's not always the case. Remember my example last week of the young man whose home church had told his parents that unless he changed how he dressed, he was not welcome back. In truth, the church has too often been a place where people are made to feel that they don't belong. And sometimes it's the subtle things we do or don't do that can make someone feel that way. For instance, we speak in church ease or denomination ease. We talk about committees, we talk about even the word grace is foreign to some people. But we use languages and terms or words and terms that people who have not been in church just don't understand. And we talk about it all the time because it's our vocabulary, but it's not theirs. And so how can we speak in a way that makes them feel like they belong or helps them understand that language? Sometimes we don't welcome guests when they are with us. Last Sunday at our 8:45 service, we had a young couple visiting with us. Did anyone go and sit down with them and say, may I sit with you? I see that you're new here. May I sit with you? Sometimes we may be afraid to do that because we may actually talk to someone that we're supposed to know and we don't know. That's okay. It's better to say, can you remind me of your name? Than it is to ignore them altogether. But do we make those who walk in our doors as guests, do we make them feel like they are welcome here by speaking to them and getting up out of our places of comfort to go and to sit with them so that they can be comfortable? Sometimes we say the wrong things to people when they come as guests. In one of the churches I served, it was Homecoming Sunday. They still have homecoming, and someone came into the homecoming service who hadn't been in that church since they were a child. And I overheard one of the ladies saying, well, I'm surprised the roof didn't cave in when you walked through those doors. Now, do you think that made them feel welcome? Do you think they came back the next Sunday? No, they didn't. When I was in graduate school, the first graduate program, I was at Skerritt Graduate School in Nashville, and a group of us wanted to go to one of the large Methodist churches there to hear their beautiful organ. One of the people with us was an organ major, and so we went to this church, and we sat down, not front row, very few people do that, Jill and Jack sit on front row, but we got a front row person right here too, but few people do that. But we sat fairly close to the front, And service was getting close to starting time, and we were looking at the bulletin and kind of looking it over, and this elderly woman walks up to the pew, and she says to us, "Excuse me, you're going to have to move. You're in my pew." And we just kind of looked at each other stunned that anyone would have the nerve to say that. But we did. We got up and moved. And do you know where we went? Out the door. Because we were made to not feel welcome simply by what she said and how she acted. We expect guests to act in a certain way, that they're supposed to know what to do in worship. But today we're in a society where so many people have never been in a worship service before, and they don't know how to act. We don't always make space for the diversity that is reflected there in the congregation. One of the churches I served also had a couple that started coming, and she was white, but he was Hispanic, spoke English, but it was minimal English. And so we went to the trouble of buying the Spanish hymnals, which was a wonderful, sweet gesture, but it was Castilian Spanish, not Mexican Spanish, and so really didn't help a lot. But I did ask him if every week, when I read the scripture, if he would follow by reading the scripture in Spanish. And it was beautiful to see his reaction every week after he would read. His face just beamed. Because we made him feel like he belonged as who he was. But there are more damaging ways that we also have hurt people and make people feel like they're not welcome. Yet another church that I served, the church had begun a ministry with one of the housing projects, and so they would go and they would pick the children up in the van and they would bring them to the church for Sunday night program and also go and pick them up on Sunday mornings. Some of the ladies that worked with that decided they wanted to do a Bible study with the mothers or other women that lived in the projects. And so they did, and one of the women who went, she never said anything. She was very quiet, but she came faithfully to that Bible study. Her caseworker was a member of our church, and the caseworker had been asking her and inviting her to come to church for a number of years, and the woman kept refusing. Finally, to shut the caseworker up, she came, and she came back, and she came back. And we realized later on, as she got to know us and felt comfortable enough to share her story with us, that the reason she had been hesitant to come was because she had attended churches in the past that had told her never to come back. You see, she was covered in tattoos, and so people thought that was an abomination. But she'd also been a drug addict, and people didn't want that drug addict in their church. And so why would she consider going to another church before, when others had made her feel like she did not belong? Brené Brown writes in The Gift of Imperfection, "A deep sense of love and belonging is an irreducible need of all people. We all need to feel that we belong." She says we are biologically, cognitively, physically, and spiritually wired to love, to be loved, and to belong. When those needs are not met, we don't function as we were meant to. We break. We fall apart. We numb. We ache. We hurt others. We get sick. We are spiritually wired to love, to be loved, and to belong. Friends, if there is any one place in the world where one should be made to feel that they belong, that they have a home, it should be with God's people, the church. Being a part of a community is essential for us to feel whole and complete. And when we are made to feel we belong, then we are made to feel that we are of value and worth, that we have something to offer. Every person on earth matters to God. Every person on earth matters to God. Krista has, either outside her office or in her office, something I've seen on Facebook, and that is the saying that every face you look into is the face of someone whom God loves. Look around right now. Every face you look into in this room, but then also as you go forth into the world, is the face of someone God loves. Someone that God wants them to know that they belong to Him. And the only way they'll know that is if the church helps them to feel like they belong to the church as well. 1 John 3:1 says, "See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are. We are children of God. We belong to God. He is our Father. We are His. And we see that exemplified in the ministry of Jesus. Because Jesus' ministry was one of acceptance, of connecting with those who were lonely and disconnected, whether it be by choice, by chance, or by force. Think about who Jesus spent the bulk of His time with. It wasn't the religious elite, unless they were following Him, trying to trap Him. No, it was Mary Magdalene. It was the woman at the well. It was the disciples, this motley crew of fishermen and a tax collector and a zealot that none of us probably would have selected to be the leaders of His church. It was the leper, the blind. It was the woman who bled and people had cast away. Jesus made them feel that they belonged because they did. Because they were someone God loved. And someone we are called to love. That is the ministry of the church to which we are also called. Recognizing that it is God who is the one who makes someone His child. God is the one who lets them be called His child. We are simply called to love and through that love to let God welcome the lost and the lonely into this great family. Philip Jameson writes in Feasting on the Word, "All too many Christians are happy to claim a new status but are hesitant to treat others in a way consistent with that status. Those who are children of God must be willing to view all others as potential children of God and therefore people of infinite worth." We must be willing to see whoever we encounter every day as children of God, as people of infinite worth. We are called to remember that as we belong, we are to create an environment where others find a sense of belonging as well. And Paul reminds us in Romans 12 that the church is one body, but a body made up of many parts, and that we belong to each other. We belong to each other. We are interconnected with each other. When one of us hurts, we all hurt. When one of us is celebrating, we all celebrate. Because we belong together as community. And in Ephesians 2, that in the church there are no strangers or aliens. There are no aliens who walk through our doors or who we encounter. We are all, again, children of God and joined together. And in that joining together, we become the dwelling place for God. No one should ever be made to feel that they don't belong, that they don't have something to offer, to gifts to be used and to be employed to glorify God. Even the sparrows and the swallow should be able to find a home here in order to raise their young. Speaking of bird's nest, I collect weird things. Those of you that helped me unpack know that. that I have an eclectic collection of stuff. I haven't unpacked the bird's nest, and I think I do still have a few. Most of them have kind of not weathered the moves too well. Although I have a friend that when he comes across one, sometimes will make sure he saves them for me. An interesting one I will show you at a later time. But in my first appointment, I went out one day and was just kind of walking around the yard, and I noticed a robin's nest on the fence post. And I walked over to it, and there were no eggs in it. It had been used, so I assumed that the eggs had hatched and the birds had grown up and flown off, and it was vacated. So I decided to keep it. So I gently pried it off of the fence post, and I took it inside, and I began to look at it, and I thought, well, this robin has a decorative spark to her, because she had found some plastic ivy and had integrated that into the nest, and then some of that white netting that you sometimes buy things in the grocery store or at other places, and she had put that into the nest. It kind of made me think of a wedding veil or something. But then there were some parts of it I thought, I don't think that's very pretty. There was an empty candy wrapper, and then there was some of that nylon strapping. You know what I'm talking about? That strapping that they put around boxes that you cut your hand if you try to break it. You have to have a knife to break it. And so she had found some of that and had used that in the nest as well. Well, I had the bright idea that I would pretty it up and remove what I didn't think made it pretty. And so I gently started to tug at the wrapper and the nylon strapping. And guess what would have happened had I continued? The nest would have fallen apart. And I realized something, that I may have seen that as trash, as something that was not useful, to be discarded. But this robin found a purpose for it. She found it to be something that belonged in her nest. And it was something that gave that nest stability and structure. And in her way, gave that nest beauty. Sometimes the church is guilty of thinking that there are people who are like that nylon strapping and that candy wrapper. They're garbage. They're expendable. We don't need them. But in truth, we do. Because they give the church stability and structure and beauty. Just like those customers who became part of that body in that first church I talked about this morning. They changed the face of that church. But that church became more the family of God than it had ever been. When all of a sudden, everyone was truly welcome in that church. Everyone could belong. Are we a place where people feel that they can truly belong when they come to visit us? If you were to invite someone that you met on the street today to come to our church, do you think they would be made to feel welcome? What would we have to do differently to ensure that they would have a place here? How can we open our arms, our hearts, our eyes, our minds to truly see that they are people God loves, just as God loves each of us, and that they belong at the altar of the Lord? Let us pray. Oh God, as we come before you this morning, we must first confess that there have been times that we have not welcomed the stranger, that we have made them feel they don't belong here, that this can't be their home. And we've not always been cognizant of how we have done that. But Lord, we truly want to be a place where even the sparrow and the swallow can come and be a part of this body. We want to be a place of belonging, where in all of our rich diversity, that we come together as the body of Christ and are whole. Help us to search our hearts and our minds of what we need to change within ourselves so that we can receive those you bring to us. But also, as important, open our minds and our hearts so that as we go forth, we will also receive those that come across our path and seek ways to connect with them so that they can become a part of your kingdom, so that they don't have to be lonely anymore. These things we ask in your name. Amen.